The NFL draft just a few days away. What will the Jaguars do with their third pick of the draft?
Well, first, let's start with some comments from General Manager Dave Caldwell and Head Coach Gus Bradley from Friday's pre-draft luncheon. I asked Caldwell to size up the possibilities for who the Jaguars could take this year.
So last year you said that at this luncheon that you knew it was going to be one of two guys. Uh-huh. Now do you know it's one of three guys, or what does it look like now?
Well, I think last year I was comfortable in saying that because I had a feeling that there wasn't going to be anybody to trade up or want to trade up at that point in time. Where this year it's a little bit more different because there has been some activity. So to undoubtedly say, yeah, I know who it's going to be, I couldn't do it this year. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. If we stayed at three, I think I have a pretty good idea who it would be, but a very good idea who it would be. But there's a lot of doubt with where we might be picking. It could be in that 8, 9, 10. It could be farther than that, so it's hard.
Would you trade back further than 10?
The compensation would have to be right. So, yeah.
It would be a big package.
It would be a big package, yeah. There's been a couple of feelers out there. I've talked to two, but other than that, I have not nothing concrete, nothing, hey, we're definitely going to do anything. I think everyone's just kind of gauging what the price would be, and for us, it would really just depend on what player was there.
How important is a relationship then when those conversations come? You know, you have a relationship with the GM.
Yeah, very, very important. As a matter of fact, the Eugene Monroe trade happened because I had a good relationship with the people in Baltimore. So sometimes when you're at a school, you're visiting, or you're just calling to see how their family's doing, and then all of a sudden, hey, did you have anything about thoughts about coming up to three? No, well, what would it take? You know, then we talk about that. So it helps. But I think as we get into the beginning of next week and closer to the draft, teams that have real interest in coming up, we'll reach out.
So that's very interesting to me. There have already been some calls, and Caldwell expects to have more conversations with teams as the draft approaches. And here's why that's important. If the draft goes as we think it might, the Texans taking South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, then the Rams taking Clemson wide receiver Sammy Watkins, who, by the way, are my first top two players I'd like to see the Jaguars get. But the Jaguars then may want to trade back. I think those are those top two guys as mentioned, but there have not been a lot of hints coming from the Jaguars scouting staff about who they favor at this point. They're pretty buttoned up and close to the vest. There could always be a surprise. In fact, head coach Gus Bradley told me that he expects that the draft this year will be a bit crazier than last year's.
Oh, there's going to be surprises. There's going to be surprises. I think there's, we're going to be surprised who's there for us in the second round. I think without a doubt. I think we'll be surprised who's there in the third round and in the fourth round. And those are the conversations that, you know, if everything falls into place like it is on the board. And last year, it was like that. I mean, the board just, it went off just like the draft. I was like, yeah. I mean, that doesn't play. It looks like we're on it. You know, so you have those. But this year might be even, you know, a little bit more different. And that's what Dave and I conversation. Gus, don't be surprised if he's there. And even though we projected this guy a little bit higher, don't be surprised if he's taken even earlier. You know, you're going to have those surprises this year.
All right, so let's cut to the chase. Who are the Jaguars going to take, right? This is the big question. What do they need the most? Well, based on last year's team, you would say that pass rush and playmakers on offense is what's needed. Consider that they added a batch of defensive linemen and a running back, Toby Gerhardt. Remember, Maurice Jones-Drew walked in free agency. He's now an Oakland Raider. The Jaguars are moving forward as if they're not going to have Justin Blackmon back from suspension. They don't know yet, but they're just assuming that. So receiver is certainly a possibility, which is where Watkins would be such a good choice. They could also do better on the offensive line. You usually don't take a center or a guard, though, this early in the draft, at least in the first round. So would they take a tackle for the second straight year? If they did, it could be Jake Matthews, who was a college teammate of last year's first-round pick, Luke Jokel at Texas A&M. You'd have your left tackle, your right tackle, and it might harken back to the days of Tony Boselli and Leon Searcy.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much all the top 10 picks, interestingly enough, are expected to be either passers, pass catchers, pass rushers, or the guys who block the pass rushers. So it kind of shows you how important the passing game is in the NFL in this day and age. So,
Sure. And a quick note on college football. Let's talk for a minute about Jameis Winston in a little trouble again.
Yeah. He was reinstated to the FSU baseball team after he had been suspended, ordered to complete 20 hours of community service after he forgot to pay for some crab legs at Publix in Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's a charitable way of putting it,
darndest
right?
thing. I'll say this. Right now, he is the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick in the draft next year, but it's his to lose. He could lose it if he keeps this stuff up, though. And it could cost him a lot of money, and it costs him draft position as well. He has to realize he's going to be the most followed college athlete in the country, and he needs to start acting like it.
Now, on another note, a happier football note. This is exciting. The Jacksonville Sharks, our arena football team, now has as its part owner Motley Crue star Vince Neil.
Yes, he came in as a 10% partner here. He says he wants to bring some rock and roll production to the Sharks games. So, by the way, the Sharks games are already pretty rock and roll.
I know.
So it's going to be interesting to see what his impact is. He would like to eventually own a team himself outright. So he's kind of learning. This is sort of an apprenticeship program in some regard for him.
My major goal right now is to get him here into this studio.
That might be the first time that anybody from a metal hair band has come into a public radio station.
Well, I hope we're the first.
Let's make it happen.
Wouldn't that be fun to listen to? And last but not least, the JU women's lacrosse team rolling along.
Won the ASUN tournament yesterday, a dominant performance. JU will play Denver in the NCAA tournament. Perhaps the bigger story is, though, that this is the 8th conference championship of the school year for a JU team. That's a school record, and all 8 of them came from JU women's team. So terrific year for the Lady Dolphins.
Go JU women, and go Cole Pepper. Always so great to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Melissa.